Crackers. Dude, good combo. Twizzlers and animal crackers.
Ooh, yeah.
Perfect combination of chewy and crunchy.
And like there's like a savory bit to the animal crackers as well.
You get a little sweet in there.
Do you actually like eat them at the same time though?
Yeah, I used to rip the Twizzlers in pieces off and put the animal cracker like under it and eat it like a little sandwich.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah, have you ever used a Twizzler as a straw for a soda?
Have.
Yeah.
But Red Vines work better.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. Have you ever done that thing with those like, they're like graham crackers covered in chocolate? I think like the fudge dwarf makes them. And you can like bite the, there's other cookies I think that you
like,
bite the corners off and then you can drink milk through them. And
wait,
then you,
did
like,
you say Fudge Dwarf? Is that the name of a company?
E.L. Fudge.
The Keebler Elf.
Yeah. See, I was thinking that Fudge Dwarf was a different thing than the Keebler Elf.
I imagine knock off, that's like what they sell. Like the
Safeway.
Giant brand Keebler Elf.
Yeah. Super chill.
Fudge Dwarf.
Hi, you're listening to People Are Strange, a podcast starring me, Andy,
and me, JK.
Please be advised, this show contains strong language and explicit descriptions of adult situations. People Are Strange is not intended to promote the use of drugs or a life in the arts. If you do decide to experiment, please do so from an informed and responsible place. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy, because after all, people are strange.
Let's get things off here. We would like to welcome our guest. We have Joey here with us.
Hello,
Joey. Hello. I don't know what you go by on stage, so I want to make sure people can recognize you.
I usually say Joey Lambert.
Okay.
Okay, right. Cool.
Well, nice, nice. Well, Joey welcome Lambert. To People Are Strange. We're happy to have you here.
Thanks.
You are the first musician on the show.
Good.
What do you mostly play guitar? Give me a quick list of everything that you play.
string stuff. I don't know. I got into mandolin a little bit. I have a pretty rad ukulele my grandma gave me. And then piano I picked up in college.
Yeah.
Which has been awesome. Like, it's just one of those things that you feel like you have to learn as a musician because it's
true.
You know.
Why?
Can
why?
Dictate everything. It's just got this aura of, like, classical beauty around, and I don't know, it's been around for so long, a lot longer than like lutes or when guitars started.
Yeah, there's something to like seeing everything kind of out in front of you, and you get to kind of like,
yeah. I mean, with guitar, the pattern's a bit scatterbrained. I mean, you can figure it out and do it, and with piano, everything's kind of laid out in that one specific pattern over and over again, so it's a lot easier to.
Yeah, you know exactly what each note looks like on a piano. And it's interesting, too, that you, like, you can write music using, like, every instrument using a keyboard, you know? Like, you can plug a keyboard into a computer and write, like, a string quartet with that keyboard, but you can't really, like, plug an electric violin and write, like, a piano symphony. You know, for some reason, like, it just doesn't really work. There's something about it being, like, the most kind of like mainstream center of the line instrument.
It is. It's like the center. It's everything comes back to that, and people have written on it for centuries. So,
So what are you doing these days? You're playing live shows a little bit.
Yeah. I have a couple sets here and there in Annapolis that biweekly. So.
Oh yeah.
So do you play like covers or original stuff or?
I mix it, but it's the 3 hours, so you gotta fill it with something. So you end up doing a lot more covers than you want to. But
do you find usually that people like respond more to covers as well? Like,
yeah, I mean, out and about, people are drinking and stuff. Like, you want to hear something. It's just the people that end up yelling shit. Like, do you know this? Like, no, I don't know that. I'm
people
sorry.
Are still screaming Freebird.
Well, like, they think it's like a joke as well.
20 years. And it's stopped. Just stop doing it.
Well, and
move
that's
on
like
a
different
a new song.
Playing in like a bar is like a different kind of environment and a different kind of crowd than you would have if it was like, you know, a show at a more musical venue or something.
They're not necessarily there to hear the music, you know. Like, they're there
that's
to drink.
The little hole that I end up in. Like, most people, like a couple of our friends, can do like Fridays and Saturdays and stuff, and they have the covers to, you know, contribute to that night for everybody. Because then it's like louder and happier stuff. But I'm a very like kind of fingerstyle Nick Drakey sort of slow picker. So most of the time when I like give a card to someone, you know, at a restaurant, I'm like, I'm kind of like a dinner crowd guy, you know, so, you know, I'm not going to be hopping on a Friday night. So you can throw me in like, if you know, if you want music on a Thursday or whatever, then that's cool.
Sure.
But I mean, if you can do that and play covers, you know, you're fine. Like,
yeah, Yeah, I mean, I have a couple. I always find myself in this, like, kind of quiet, sad hole. Like, and it's not, I'm not, like, a depressed person regularly. It just, it ends up there. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. In the stuff that you're writing or in the covers?
In the stuff that I write and the covers that I like doing, or that I most enjoy. And I try and not put too many covers in there that I hate, because that'll show.
Sure, yeah.
People will see that.
Have you tried to, like, challenge yourself to write in the opposite?
I mean, occasionally, yeah. Actually, ones that really go over well that I still really love and or enjoy doing a lot are like Simon and Garfunkel, because everybody knows that stuff.
Sure.
Whether it's, you know, an older crowd for dinner.
Yeah.
Kind of feel good.
And like, even people that don't, like, they heard it on the Garden State soundtrack.
So yeah, that's
right. Yeah.
Do you usually have a couple of beers before you play in front of a crowd? Do you have the option?
Beers, I can't. Beers really? Are like, yeah, the carbonation kind of messes with the throat.
Oh, right.
And, you know, for a lot of people it doesn't, but for me,
I
have like a bit of the refluxy too, so.
So you said you don't like to drink beer, but is there a beverage that you
would? Yeah, typically get like a, I'd get hot toddies with honey.
Oh, yeah?
So that, yeah.
What's a hot toddy?
It's a...
Sounds like something my grandmother would drink.
It depends, it depends on where you go. It's like hot water, tea, lemon, and honey. I'll do that.
Is there any, with something alcoholic in there, I assume?
Yeah, whiskey, typically. Right. But.
Are you a whiskey man, generally? What's your favorite liquor?
Beer, but I like scotch second, probably.
All right, nice.
Or wine. They're scotch. Close. They've been fighting for a while.
Red or white?
Red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like it dry or like... Like, real tannin-y or more?
I like them both, man. Yeah. I don't know, yeah.
Wine makes me sweat. Like, if I drink a lot of wine and then go to bed, I wake up just like, oh, I'm so gross right now.
That's funny.
You know, just wine specifically. Like, liquor doesn't...
I love drinking red wine, but it all, like, it makes your teeth, like, purple, so you can't, like, drink it in certain, like, circumstances.
You get the cotton with it, too. Yeah. So I guess I like dries more. Yeah,
I like that. I love that.
Like, smacking...
Yeah, exactly. I love that.
But dude, it's per occasion, man. Like, I can sit down and, like, you sit down for, like, a chess game that you know you're going to spend 3-4 hours on with your buddies or whatever. Put some, like, classical music on, have a glass of wine, maybe, like, a joint in the corner. Just, like, you know, an hour in or something like that.
Hell yeah. So you also make guitars, right?
Yeah, it's fun, man. I went to school for it, it's going on 7 years ago now, so, I was at school for music, classical performance, where you're wearing the footstool and everything, and, you know, trying to read, which, by the way, the difference between piano and guitar reading is astounding. It's horrible.
Yeah.
I hate it for guitar, but piano's okay.
Interesting.
Just because of the structured element or whatever.
I remember I took a guitar class and I was fine when we were picking through, but then when it came to reading chords, I also got like really ahead, and then I like slacked off talking to a cute girl in the back of the classroom, so I kind of like forgot everything I learned.
Isn't that guitar what's initially for anyways?
I guess so.
So I was taking music at college, music, classical performance, and then I had an art minor, and I kept flip-flopping them because I didn't know what I wanted to do.
What kind of art were you looking at?
I was just painting, drawing, whatever.
Uh-huh. Art history or like more creating?
It was you know, the process of creation of art.
What medium did you like to work in?
I like painting a lot. I've always wanted to get into sculpture, never gotten into sculpture, but... That's kind of like one thing on my bucket that I need to get in. And half my friends from Baltimore went to Towson for metal sculpting and stuff like that. So I'm...
Well, and you've done a lot of, I mean, woodworking now at this point, which is kind of, you know...
Yeah. Do you ever paint your guitars?
No, I thought about doing like wood. I'm getting into... Once I got the training on how to use all the tools and stuff for using wood, that... I'm doing these weird kind of little side project things now, like mosaic pictures and stuff like that.
Oh, cool.
I always hold myself back, I think, subconsciously. I never think about splashing a bunch of paint on a thing, but every once in a while, I'm like, you know what? Why don't I just grab, like, a squirt bottle and like a hammer and just like go to town. Yeah, just like squirt it on there and just like hit it with hammers on it. Yeah. And just break it and let the paint kind of seep into the cracks or something that. Oh, cool.
Yeah. Because you got a little like workshop that you've got where you live.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. At my house, shop. I have a pretty cool little setup and 18 of projects that are half finished. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
You work for Paul Reed Smith, is that right?
Yeah, I'm at PRS right now.
Oh, so you're still there?
Yeah, I've been there for like 6 years.
Okay.
Wow. So do you play any guitars that you made yourself?
Yeah, I actually, the one that I mainly play out is the first one that I built. Which sounds the best, I think. I don't know why. Like, typically, that's not that you'd work towards something like that. But maybe it's just the heart that kind of went into creating that first
thing. Your first one, yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, you'll always be chasing that first hit now, man.
Chasing Camatea Rosewood Dragon.
Yeah. That's really great, too, to play that out, because then you have people coming up to you like, what kind of guitar is that? And you're like, I made this. Here's my business card.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something I'm like readily throwing.
But it's still a great opportunity.
It feels good to be able to say something like that.
Yeah, for real.
What is it like working at a guitar factory, I guess?
It's cool, man. It's different. Like, I harken back to a couple minutes ago, like, I left school because I didn't know what I wanted to do, art or music, and someone told me about a luthier school, and me and him went there, and then 7 months later, we come back, I'm looking for a job, so I get one at PRS.
And that's where you learned to make guitars initially, at Luthier School.
Yeah, we built an acoustic and an electric, and took like a repair course while we were there.
Oh, cool.
And then I got at PRS, and I was hired directly onto the acoustic team, which... This is a perfect setup for me because they had 3 people on it. They had just started it. I wasn't going to be doing like production lines, spinning, 1, 2, 8 over, and just that's what you do all day. I get to like be a part of each and every process, which is fun because you're not stuck in a monotonous
assembly line kind of thing where you're just putting on the knobs or whatever.
You get to spread yourself out a little bit.
Yeah. Mm.
And we expanded to, at one point I think we had 20 some odd people, and now we're back down to 9, 10, 11, something like that.
Nice. So,
do you think you like learned a lot more about playing guitar once you like started making them? Did it kind of clue you in?
Ear got a lot better.
Yeah.
I mean, not necessarily playing wise, but hearing certain things and hearing overtones and being able to like use. So I guess it plays in playing a little bit. You can do weirder stuff and know that it's gonna work.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't get specific on it.
Sure.
But it's really interesting because like that's one of the few things where you can actually be creating the instrument that you're, I mean, because with acting or something, it's not like you're building your own body. I mean, I guess you sort of are, but...
Well, you work up to that, don't you?
Well, I had a teacher that would say that your body is like your instrument and that you have to take care of it.
And, faces and movement.
Yeah, and like tune it, like stretching is like tuning and, maintaining it.
Yeah, it's an incredible feeling. Mm-hmm. Finishing it, because you spend... Mm-hmm. I mean, the first one that I did that I still play out all the time took a year.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one was like 6 months and then 3, but at the end of it, you spend so much time getting into it, and then you like finally...
Every single centimeter of it.
Yeah, and you can put the strings on, and that day is like, oh my god, I'm stretching for that day. Like,
oh man.
waiting for it.
Uh-huh.
And you finally like get them on and sit down, and I make sure it's at a time when no one else is in the factory, and I can just like, turn the lights off or whatever, and just sit there and just hear it for the first time, and it's because each guitar sounds different. It's a great
thing. Do you do that? Awesome. Do you go in and turn all the lights off?
Yeah,
candles.
I'll go in the our little office room where it's quiet because the factory's loud as hell with the dust collection and everything.
Yeah.
So I'll cut the lights off, make sure I'm not going to bump into anything, like just sit on the floor and just strum it for the first time.
Oh, nice.
A little bit of an experience.
Talked about debating what you wanted to go into in college, and then
I still have that debate going on.
Yeah,
like I don't know if I want to build more or play more. That's my biggest issue right now, because most of my time is dedicated to building. Obviously, it's my main job, and I like to do it when I get home too and build little things, whatever art piece. I have this little robot right now. He's like,
oh yeah,
this little wooden like sculpture robot thing. He's like half done. He's got a half a torso and a head. That's about it.
Do you mostly build shit out of wood or?
Yeah, it's all wood. I haven't really messed with metal too much.
That's awesome.
Or any other medium, but...
Why are you building a robot? Why'd you pick a robot?
Dude, Daft Punk had just came out, and I was, like, crushing the shit out of the Daft Punk album. And the newest one, yeah. And I just couldn't put it down, and I was listening to, I call it the Sad Robot Song. Just sounds like a robot singing a really sad song about his heartbroken. Yeah. That, you know.
Like 75% of Daft Punk.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, I was sitting outside, I was working on something, and I was, like... Got this little idea, so I drew it out and then started making a little robot.
Nice.
Now, have you thought about, like, ways to kind of combine the different, like, mediums?
I want to do...
crazy custom guitars.
Nah, wind chimes. But, like, not wind chimes, like a... kind of like a wind guitar, so you get, like, a spiraling downwards block of wood that's kind of hollowed out, and then strings strung through the middle of it. And, like, the wind would be blowing the pick around, so it kind of hit, like, an open tuning and play rather than, like, blowing something back and forth. Yeah. Spin around in a circle and hit all the strings and, you know.
That's awesome, dude.
And you could have, like, you could have guitar strings in there, mandolin strings in there, so you get this really odd sound, at least in my head.
Sure, I know. Like, but, you gotta make this.
Yeah, man. I would like to be able to do that at some point.
Cool. Just kind of crazy, conceptual kind of art, musically. Just,
yeah, weird shit. I would really like to get into that. And kinetic art, stuff that moves on its own. You've seen videos on YouTube of, like, that guy that built the shit on the beach that would, like, the wind makes it walk, and it walks across the whole beach.
Oh, yeah. Wow. You could be playing, like, your own gallery show one day, man. You could have all your, like, your sculptures out and just you playing in the corner as people are going around checking your stuff out.
That would probably be the ultimate dream. You'd be able to, 'cause as well as those things, I write, too. I have this little, like, novella going as well.
Oh,
like,
cool.
I'd like to have this one big collaborative project of, like, music that I can write to the story for something that I wrote, but also depicted in, like, several, you know, sculptures or whatever that kind of play out what's going on.
That's awesome.
And that's, like, a 30-year project. Like, I'd be an old man by the time
what a great thing to live for, though. Yeah, oh, yeah. My goodness. What a beautiful
imagine the tears that would come out of my face at the end of that process. Like,
beautiful. The thing is, if you really... like picked away at something like that, you could put that together in a couple of years, and you could put that on at one of the bars that, like,
dude,
you
know, one of the so bars fun. Downtown,
and even like the stages along the way, doing like workshops of like even just like when each kind of step is coming along.
Yeah, I guess you get like an album out for the music, and then like the little novella thing, but then you get the sculptures and the art show or whatever,
and then finally,
just like one big piece.
Oh man,
that'd be so satisfying.
I gotta come to that night. You gotta invite me. So like, what are you working on anything right now? We know that you've got your workshop full of like crazy projects and things that you're conceiving in your mind as well.
I'll give you the short list. I got the robot. I got to finish.
Yeah.
I got this like 4 foot by 2 foot mosaic kind of, it would be like stained glass. It's just these pieces of random shapes kind of glued together, different colored woods.
So and you've like stained different pieces or just used different types of wood for the
different types of wood? Oh, yeah. Cool. So it's all natural. Like I don't like coloring stuff.
Oh, you don't work with stains?
For work, we're required to, but not for my stuff. It's all natural wood.
Oh yeah.
Which, I take a lot of solace in, because I think this simplistically elegant stuff is always the best stuff.
Yeah, totally.
You know, you don't want to throw a ton of, you know, mother pearl or something on a guitar and just like have this flashy thing in your face. I think the things that people appreciate most in any art is always like subtly beautiful bits about them.
Simplicity to it.
It's like simplistic elegance. I think there's a lot to be said about it. So I try and build most of what I do through that. Like, I'm not gonna do some crazy, you know, shit. Colors, bright colors.
Yeah. And
it's just the subtleties that I find most pleasant. So I got the mosaic thing, and then I'm halfway through a guitar. I have a nightstand.
Is that an electric guitar or an acoustic guitar?
An acoustic.
You said earlier you were playing a couple of bi-weekly shows. When and where are those?
Now, riddle me this. Bi-weekly. Is that every other? Or is that twice a week? That's what I thought. Okay.
I think...
That always fucks me up. I can't remember.
In my head, it's, I would say every other week. But then I thought about it. I'm like, bi-weekly. No, that would be twice a week, I guess.
Maybe. Well, it's every other week.
No, bi-weekly is every other
week. No, yeah. We're all in agreement.
Okay, cool. It's every other week at 8 at Metropolitan. And
what day?
Thursdays.
Thursdays,
that would
Metropolitan
help.
At 8. Cool.
Thursdays.
This is 8:30 till
Thursdays with Joey.
Till 11:30, yeah.
Now, can you talk on the process of making an electric guitar versus an acoustic guitar?
I haven't done it in 6.5 years.
What, made an electric guitar?
Yeah, I build solely acoustic stuff.
Wow. I see, and I feel like those are, acoustics are, I mean, you have to deal with like steaming wood and like it's much more difficult to make an acoustic than an electric.
Yeah, it's a lot more intricate because what you don't see is the inside of the box. The whole body is braced a very specific way to let the sound resonate in a certain way to get out the sound hole and project what you want it to.
Mm-hmm. And to hold all that tension.
Via your design. And yeah, there's...
I just restrung my guitar.
A couple hundred pounds of tension.
Oh my god, there's so much tension on this thing. Yeah. You realize when you're like cranking it and cranking these like steel wires. Like,
you gotta sustain that or else you're gonna rip the whole ass end of your guitar off.
Man.
But electrics, I feel a little bit easier. You can cut the majority out of it with like a router and... you shape it and stuff like that, and then you have the electronics to deal with sound. You don't necessarily have to like little by little take off bits of wood from the inside of the top to try and figure out how you want it to sound.
Oh man, so you're really like creating the whole like sound experience inside of that guitar and how it's being like captured and resonated.
You basically design the entire sound of that instrument.
Wow.
And not to say that there's not a bit of the woodworking that makes an electric sound the way it does, but also you have this heavy element of pickups, which most people aren't winding or creating themselves or buying someone else's, so you have to incorporate those two things to how you want it to come out at the end. And I would like to do another one at some point. I just haven't. I find the creative process of acoustics a lot more kind of intimate and like you get into it a little more.
Yeah. Interesting. So you have like the steamer and all everything to make it at your place, at your workshop.
Yeah. A couple of things I'm missing from my work, but I do utilize the tools at my work.
Absolutely. That is one of the benefits of working at one of the finer guitar manufacturers.
They're pretty nice about that.
They'll
let us go off the clock a little bit and then do side projects.
That's really good.
As long as, you know, we use most of our own paper, sandpaper, and stuff like that.
Sure, yeah. Bring your own materials. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the tools they have there.
In your fantasy world, in your wild kind of imagination, what would you like to be doing?
The fantasy world? I would love to be building and making music at the same time, but have the creative ability to build whatever the hell I wanted to do at that time. Like, say I wanted to build a real big version of a robot, then I might, you know?
Yeah.
Or some sculpture, if I wanted to do that, I want to be able to do it and with immediacy. I don't want to be on a structured, have to build a certain amount of whatever it be, like a cabinet guitar builder or whatever. Like, I'd like to be able to switch between, you know,
couple projects,
wall art or like a... some furniture or guitars or whatever, but
your
also
wind chime with strings.
Yeah,
and
wind chime. Yeah,
you should totally make one.
I think I'm gonna.
Nice.
Why do you think you got into music like as an art form? Is there anything specific that draws you to music? Obviously, you're not just into music. You've been going on about crazy projects.
So. I like creative anything, man. I've been in love with it since I was a child. Which is fun, but I also, my parents, my dad is a really sick painter, and his dad was really good. They, like, took lessons in Italy and stuff like that.
Wow.
And then my mom, she acts, and she just plays all the time. She hasn't in the past year or so, but she's consistently, like, every year done a play for the longest time. And she played piano when she was growing up, and her mom and my great-grandmother all were musicians as well. So I think I kind of had it, like, it was there already, just waiting to get hit in the face with, like, something awesome. Yeah,
totally.
So it finally, I guess, you know, smacked me at, like, 12 years old and was like, This is probably what you're going to be doing, man.
What do you usually write songs about?
Weirdly, like, you know the whole Baroque pop thing going on now with, like, Fleet Foxes?
Yeah.
And, like, there's a whole sort of genre called Baroque pop, which it has this unique kind of classical element to it, which kind of feels timeless, which I like a lot. And I try not to write in specifics or in, like, real things. Like, I'm not going to talk about he said, she said. I want to create allegories for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to metaphorically just tell a story, but
I like that.
It makes someone think a little more, and I think they appreciate it more when they kind of think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just something you're going to hear in passing and be like, oh, I get it. You know, you kind of dwell on it for a minute, so it becomes sort of an earthly thing, like stars, space, whatever. Like, I'm not gonna sing a science fiction soundtrack, but
inspired by natural elements.
I forget who said it. Someone was talking about, say they were in an interview, and that guy it was a musician, a very famous one. I can't remember his name. He said, "What do you like writing about?" And he says, "Well, and he was British, so I'm gonna do that." He was like, "Well, I like, I like writing about pencils and you know, cans of soda. Like, I don't like writing about serious shit. It's too fucking complicated." Uh-huh. He just, like, goes on and he's like, but the ability to be able to take a pencil and, like, break that down into a story, I think, is so much more enticing and full than just kind of talking about life as you would experience it on a daily basis.
Totally.
Kind of, like, think from the viewpoint of, like, a eraser on a pencil head. Like, how does he feel about getting used so much, like, to erase people's ideas? Like,
yeah, totally. Yeah.
Are you writing a novella, you said, or...?
Yeah, it's just silly thing I've had in the works for a while. It's like 14,000 words in and edited, pretty not finished, but you know, it's close.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been working on it for 2 years now. That when I started I had this big idea of, like, oh, I kinda wanna write, like, music to it, so when you're reading it you can listen to this music on the side. That whole basic idea again of, like, building stuff, which, funnily enough, now it seems like I'm a fucking robot freak. Because it's a story about this wooden robot that wakes up, and he doesn't know, obviously, he just woke up. He doesn't know how he was created or whatever, and he starts kind of playing with his function, his body functions and stuff, and, like, finally opens his eyes and sees this huge world around him, and he's kind of like a child in the playground for the first time. He wants to experience everything, so he starts, you know, he starts running around and kind of, like, he looks up and he's like, oh, I could probably get up there too, and, like, jumps and then falls, eats shit, breaks himself, and he's got to figure out how to deal with, like, having broke himself. But my favorite part about the whole thing is that, like, he realizes that all the trees within the world are the fruit that grows on them are the same. It grows like gears as fruit, sort of. So, like, the cogs within him, he realizes he can pick and, like, fix himself with. So he kind of does that for a while. And then he gets a little lonely with that. Like, everyone kind of needs, you know, a touch basis at some point with something. And so he starts building little things. Like, he realizes that he can use those not just to fix himself, but he can build other, you know, little things. So he starts a pair of scissors, and then maybe a little automaton running across the ground, and then eventually he gets to the, you know, he comes to the final conclusion that, shit, somebody must have built me. I could probably do the same thing.
Nice.
And then that's... I'm not going to give you the rest.
Yeah, dude, yeah, man, yeah. Oh, man. Short films. So peaked. Yeah. Man, that's awesome. That's
great.
You
gotta make short films, dude.
Yeah, dude.
I might know a few filmmakers that could help you out with that.
You can, you can sculpt the things. You can write the music.
I've been very, like, quietly excited about that for a while. But
That's really cool.
You know, finding the time between everything is just...
It's true. You can pull it off.
Motivation's a bitch, man.
Mm. Well, I mean, it sounds like you're not lacking it. You got a lot of projects going on. Like, that's one thing too, is, like, sometimes just to sit back and be like, oh, damn, I did do that, and I am working on this and this and this and this. Yeah. It's like, you feel like you should be more productive and you should be doing more, and that's not a bad way to feel at all, because that will drive you to keep creating. But it's also good to sometimes be like, oh, all right, I am doing some shit.
Yeah, I have all these things going.
I think it's much better to have lots of ideas and little motivation than little ideas and tons of motivation, because those are the people just churning out, like,
shit,
scary movie 5 through 10. All that crap.
If you think about that motivation it took to do start all those things, and you like try and order it, you could probably like finish projects.
I heard some stupid quote about like the only difference between successful people and non-successful people is how much you can like stick to your schedule. So
that's the only difference.
Apparently,
my brother's and he's incredible. That he went to USC film school, so he's out there like he's a writer, director, trying to get a
couple. So you know some filmmakers too.
I do. I'm very proud of him. But he sticks to this very structured schedule of like he comes home and writes for 3 hours every day.
And he had something published recently, right?
He had the Liberty Annual comic published.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
That's right.
So it's the schedule. It's all about the fucking schedule, dude. And he's so good at it, man. Every time I call him, the assholes are writing at home, and I'm like,
you're playing,
dude,
I'm
just sitting here with a beer like watching Sons of Anarchy. I wish I was doing something.
Yeah.
It's important to recognize that, like, yeah, you do have to find your own way of working, you know. Like, some people, they do sleep until 3 in the afternoon and then work up and go really hard until 4 in the morning, you know. Like, just because you fucking don't live the same way.
About 2-3 o'clock in the morning, when you feel like you're the only person in the world, that little mad scientist rush is going on.
Love it, dude. I love driving at
that time. That's my happy place.
There's no one on the roads, just cruising down the highway at 4 in the morning. I like dawn. I don't like waking up at dawn, but just something about, like, if whatever I'm awake for whatever reason, I like it when the sun comes up. Like, that time of day when there's dew on the ground. Like,
I can go either way. We just had a bonfire and watched the sun come up, and it's like, damn, I know it's about to get real loud. Well, if I didn't have things to do the next day, it probably would have been different. But it's like, the birds come out. The birds. You gotta beat the birds. You gotta sleep before the birds.
Dude, this otherwise. Like... it's like the Day's Unicorn, man. How often are you seeing the sun come up on, like, your own?
Day's
Unicorn.
I can understand that being... because, I've been in the circumstances, and seeing that happen, it's not something you see all the time.
I used to work, like, super early in the morning, so, like, especially in, like, the wintertime, I would watch the sun come up.
Hell yeah.
Like, every morning. It was actually really nice. You get to, like, watch, like, the seasons kind of change, and, like, the sky get, like, beautiful, and, man.
It sucks when you have to be up that early. Yeah. Occasionally, like, I'll wake up that early because I really have to pee, or, like, I'm a diabetic, so my blood sugar will be really low, and I'll have to, like, wake up, and sometimes it's like, fuck, it's 5 a.m.? Yeah, eat candy and chug cranberry juice.
Where's my Totoro?
I'm like, fuck, I just want to go out on the porch, smoke a cigarette.
Twizzlers and animal crackers.
Exactly. And sometimes I'll just go out and chill and sit outside for 10 minutes before I crash again for another 4 hours. So you're playing shows these days at Metropolitan, 8 o'clock every other Thursday?
Yes, sir.
So when's the next one?
And people can buy your guitars.
This Thursday, 2 days from now.
Thursday, so that's October 30th. So the one after that.
That might be the day we release it. Yeah. Hey, everyone, go see
right
Joey.
Now.
We want to thank Joey Lambert for stopping by here with us on People Are Strange.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely, man. Happy to have you on.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Rock.
Cool. Yeah.
And want to see your robots, how they're developing, and your guitar wind chimes.
Maybe I'll set them up on the side of me, and then make fun of you while you're walking and trip on your face.
Yeah.
If I win the lottery, I'm going to finance your short film. I'm making that act right now.
I want to see that happen.
Sweet, man.
But yeah, thanks, guys.
Absolutely, man.
Cheers.
Time's up! Get out!
Thank you for joining us for People Are Strange. If you enjoyed the show, please like us on Facebook. Subscribe to us on YouTube and iTunes. Email us, andyandjk@gmail.com.
And most importantly, tell your friends.
I'm Andy.
And I'm JK.
Be sure to check back with us next week for another exciting new episode of
People Are Strange.